Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and I'm here today with my co-host and mom, Dr. Gloria Horsley. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Heidi. It's great to be on the show today, and we've got such a good friend coming on. And you know what a pet lover I am. But
yes.
We're going to talk about loss and recovery, and it just goes across all areas. You're going to love the show today. And I want to remind everybody that we're in partnership with the Compassionate Friends, and also Heidi and I depend on you for word of mouth to tell people about Open to Hope, because our mission is helping people find hope after loss. We're a 501c3, and we just know there's so many people that are looking for free help to get through, especially at night, right, Heidi?
Absolutely, Mom. And there's so many people that have found us, but there's so many more that need us. And we are available 24/7. All you have to do is log on to get hope. And as you know, Mom, sometimes we grieve in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning when everybody else is asleep.
Absolutely. So that you can just go on to opentohope.com, and there we are with hundreds of radio shows, television shows, YouTubes, 5,000 articles. It's just a great place. And it's all tagged for content, so you can find what you're looking for as far as loss goes. If you lost a child or a spouse, or you can find that specific information. Well, Heidi, why don't you introduce our guest today, and let's talk about pet loss.
Mm-hmm. I would love to introduce our guest. She is one of my favorite people. She's got such great energy, and she has got fabulous information about children and grief. And we are going to talk to her today about getting and losing pets. Her name is Linda Goldman. Linda is an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins Graduate School and King's College. She is the author of Lucy, Let's Go, Helping Children Love a Pet Through Death and Dying, Life and Loss, A Guide to Help Grieving Children, and Great Answers to Difficult Questions About Death. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Well, thank you. I love being here.
So great to have you on. How did you decide to write a book about pet loss?
What was the question?
How did you decide to write a book about pet loss?
Why? Because first of all, I'm an animal lover. I've always had animals in my family. I'm also a grief therapist that works with children, adolescents, and adults. And I have found whether someone is 5 or 85, they can be so deeply, deeply attached to their pets as a very sacred loved one. And when you mentioned that you offer hope 24/7, I have to say I was thinking of this lovely man. He was 80 years old that I met on the elevator when we first got our puppy, Lucy. And when he saw Lucy, he started to cry. Mm. He said, I miss my dog, Sophie, so much. My wife died. I had Sophie for 15 years, and now I don't have her, and I'm all alone. And number one, I was thinking he could have called you in the middle of the night. But number two, how significant these pets are to all of us.
Well, Linda, I'm thinking that pets, as you said, they offer hope 24/7.
Exactly. And, you know, they breathe with us. They're with us all day long. And I know from my own pet loss that the house seems so empty. It feels unbearable. I've heard so many kids say they're my heart. And when I work with kids, I do find that lots of times adults tend to disenfranchise children's grief when it comes to pets.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that not only do we need to allow kids to be recognized mourners for this very deep loss, but when a pet dies, whether it's a goldfish, a hamster, or a beloved dog, it's a teachable moment that shows children that they are important, that they are included, that they can sing a song, write a poem, send off a balloon, bury a dog bone, and that they will be honored for that.
I love this idea.
Yeah, it's really so important. I mean, animals are so sweet and dear, and not only to losing a pet, but I have to say, Linda talked about our dogs, and I was telling you that when my son Scott was killed, we got a puppy, a Lhasa puppy, Lhasa Apso, and my daughter was 14 at the time, and I remember going to her soccer game
after Scott had died, just a week later, he went to the same school, so it was really difficult. But we brought this puppy, and everybody gathered around in a joyful way.
Oh, of course.
It does. It brings people to you. And after a death, oftentimes people kind of sometimes run away from you because they're not sure what to say. And dogs bring people to you.
That was like a linking object to Scott that was real and alive that people could go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pets can also serve to have that hope and that idea of life is ongoing. I work with the military kids as well. And there was one example about a family whose dad died in combat. And one of the sons said, you know, Dad always promised he'd get us a dog. And the mom eventually got them a dog. And the dog's birthday happened to be the same as the dad's that died. And they decided to name the dog Major because the dad was a major.
Oh, I love that.
And so then Major became, and I use that word linking object again, but a wonderful, wonderful way to remember Dad, keep that love going, and an important part of the family.
And I'm also thinking it's a linking object because sometimes the person that died, they knew the dog. They knew the animal. And
exactly.
So, you know, you see the dog and you remember all the fun that Dad or whoever had with the animal when they were alive.
It brings back those memories, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, Linda, I'll have to say one thing that you said, which is the word, the mom eventually got a dog. I do want to say to people, you know, not everybody are dog lovers.
Right.
And then there's also the question of how long do you wait before you get another dog, Linda? Do you have thoughts about that if a child has lost a dog?
I do have thoughts about that because I often hear judgments. It's too early. It's not enough time. And I feel like every family has to make their own decision. Some families actually are ready to get a dog in a few weeks because it's just too hard for them to feel that loneliness. And I found that that has worked out really great. I think, you know, on the other hand, those people that feel they aren't ready to give all that love again need to wait until a time, you know, where they feel that can work for them.
The other thing I love about pets is, you know, oftentimes when we have someone that dies, we are touch deprived because it could be a spouse or it could be a child, and they touched us a lot. They loved on us a lot. And so having a dog, dogs come and they want to be held and petted and touched, and they give you a lot of love.
They give you an abundance of comfort. I can tell you another story about a family whose dad was very ill. He was getting operated on for cancer, and during the operation, the family was called to say if they wanted to get this puppy they were supposed to get, they had to make the decision now. The puppy had been born. And the family took the picture of the puppy, kept it on the refrigerator, and it was actually like a hope for the future that Dad would get better and that they would get this puppy. And when the puppy was ready 10 weeks later, so was Dad. And that puppy always represented like this abundance of love that was possible in the future during a hard time.
Wow, I love that. Well, tell us, what if a young child has lost a pet? How do you explain the death to them? What is death?
Well, the simple way we explain death to children is usually pets and people die when their body stops working. And, you know, usually pets and people get to live a pretty long life, of course, people longer, but usually die when they get older or when their bodies are so injured that the vets can't help their bodies work anymore. I think that we have to be careful when we use certain terms with kids, because oftentimes, unknowingly, parents might create cliches that can inhibit the child's grief process.
Well, one thing that that comes to mind for me is they died peacefully in their sleep.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've had children that can't sleep after they hear that because they're afraid if they fall asleep, they're going to die.
Exactly. And that's one of the cliches that I always stress, is equating death with sleep. you know, a lot of times, or sometimes with pets, they'll go, we put the dog down, not explaining what euthanasia is, using words to explain it. All of a sudden, the dog disappeared. And really, words are not used. And actually, in the Little Lucy book that you're featuring, I did put in definitions for kids so that we could use real words about cremation, euthanasia, instead of using these cliches that can be very frightening for kids. Another cliche that kids might hear is, it's only a dog. It's only a hamster. We'll get you another one.
Yeah.
But you can't, as with people, you can't just replace it. So I think as adults, we have to be careful about the words that we use because kids do take it literally.
Well, that's
and
what
dogs have such a different personalities. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But dogs?
Yeah, their personalities are
that's
so different.
There's no way to replace them. They just, you know, they're just such pure love. It's amazing. I thought of something else I wanted to mention because sometimes we think about young children and a young child might like a goldfish, but older kids might not. And I had a 14-year-old I was seeing in grief therapy because he had gone through multiple deaths. And we worked for a while. And one day he came in and he said, I had quite a week. My grandmother died, and my goldfish that I had for 4 years named Goldie also died. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't we make how would you like to make a commemoration for both of them?
Oh, I love this.
He was ecstatic that he could do it for his goldfish. Right. And he drew a Viking funeral with Goldie in the funeral, and it really meant a lot to him.
And you were probably the first one that acknowledged and validated
exactly.
the loss of his goldfish. And right. one of the things I love about this book is that it gives kids an opportunity to talk about death in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter lost her classmate. He was run over by a cab here in New York, and he was 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. And the teacher said to me, I don't know how to talk to the class about Cooper's death. And I said, ask them if they've ever had the death of a pet and start there and stay in that metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids went right for it. They were very open and candid about it. And, you know, when she gradually moved in to people after that. But it's a really nice way to, you know, start that kind of conversation.
You know, Heidi, I'm really glad you brought that up because it is a segue that can be a teachable moment, not only when there's a death in the classroom, but just to bring up these subjects. I taught school, kindergarten, second grade, first grade for almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I found that kids were okay with discussing the topic of death. It was just as you said, the teacher said, adults often feel like they don't have the words to use.
Yes.
And if we can help them
yes.
with books like Lucy, Let's Go, that creates dialogues
yes.
that make it safer for adults to talk to kids, I think it's very helpful.
And like my mom and I said, when we read Lucy Let's Go, your book on helping children love a pet through death and dying, it is the story about two dogs and their relationship, but it is also the story about a sibling loss because it reminds me of a sibling loss.
Because they really were siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And because little Lucy, the puppy, loved her older sister, looked up to her older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And in the storyline, Tashi really teaches her, like, you know, how to go get a ball or chew a bone or where to put it and where to find things. And they would sleep together, and every morning Lucy would wake up and wait for Tashi to come in and then jump on Tashi. So it was really a sibling relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the little puppy really did grieve her loss. And I, too, discovered, Heidi, that it really was about sibling loss after I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
So, Heidi, talk a little bit about some of the exercises that Linda has in the book.
Oh,
I think they're so great.
There's so many. So I love it because your book, Linda, as you know, yeah, the first part is the story, but then the last half is activities you can do.
Right.
Which is really, really cool. I have to get to it, though.
It's activities that the kids can really participate in, as you said, in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about their pet. What was their pet's name? How old was their pet? You know, sometimes we can just ask kids, is there anything you feel sorry about? I had one little boy when he did a little memory book on his pet that said he was sorry when his pet was a puppy, that he had kicked him down the steps and he was a little toddler or young child, but he had remembered it and felt guilty about it. And it was good that he had a place to express that and say he was sorry. So kids can do that. They can put pictures of their pet. They can make a memory box with their dog's collar or something, a special stuffed animal, and decorate it with things about their pet. And all of these ways give children avenues to work through their grief.
Yeah, there's so many things in here that can apply to a pet or a person.
Absolutely.
My best memory, my funniest memory, if I had one wish, if I wrote a letter to my pet, what would it say?
I love all that.
What are my worries? What are my tough up worries? And then it gives them suggestions what they can do to commemorate.
Well, and I like that you've got the feelings. Kids can have a lot of feelings grieving a pet. Find the ones that you have, and you have the worries. You know, you have the way they felt, sad, worried, sorry, hopeful, etc. They can circle them, and then they can start. It's an educational tool also.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's helpful for kids to become aware of what they're feeling. Sometimes they don't even know that they're really angry or they're frustrated or they're worrying.
And it can kind of normalize it, too. It's normal to feel angry after your pet dies or after your sibling dies or after someone you love dies.
It's excellent to normalize it because so often kids feel anxious that they're feeling certain ways they never felt before. And as I mentioned, with the death of a pet, it's not so recognizable by the adult world.
Mm-hmm.
They're really grieving, and these are common signs of grieving children.
And
so,
I like
pets are so great to come home from school. A lot of parents are working now, and you know, a lot of times you're coming home to a house or maybe a housekeeper or a babysitter, and there's your friend that's always there waiting for you.
I just saw a joke about that. It said, if you have a difficult teenager at home, get a dog so that someone's excited to see you when you get home from work.
That's so cute. I love that. Well, you know, I had something funny. It was a little cartoon. How do people remember their pets through using them as their password on the computer?
I love that. I bet
a lot of people do.
They do. But, pets become your surrogate family, your closest ally. And who loves you more and is always happy to see you 5 minutes after you leave and you come back in are equally as happy to see you.
Well, we're talking about loss of a pet, so tell me, what do I do about burying the pet? Do you have your kids, if you're having the pet put to sleep or put down, or I don't know what you want to call it, if you're taking it to the vet because it's so disabled, do you have the kid there, or what do you do?
Well, that's another family decision. Some families might want their kid to be there if that happened. You know, it's such a personal decision with families, but I feel like if children are included, that's a kind of a situation where they need to be prepared for what's going to happen. That the dog is suffering so much, they're going to help the dog feel very free from all their suffering. And then have an explanation for cremation, which is in the book. And, you know, sometimes families bring home their pet's ashes, and that's also in the book, as something very sacred that they have. And then they can do a ceremony surrounding that if they choose to do that. So I feel like it's individual. There's a wonderful little storybook. It's called Goodbye Mousie. And it's about a little mouse that dies, and it's a pet mouse, and the little boy's so sad he doesn't want to eat, and finally his parents engage him in joining them in saying goodbye to Mousie. So they put Mousie in a box, they put a blanket in there, and the little boy says, you know, Mousie could be hungry, and he puts some food in there. And then he said, Mousy, go get lonely. And he puts a picture of him and Mousy in there. And he said, Mousy could get bored, and he puts in some crayons. And when he was ready, they took Mousy. They buried Mousy in the backyard. They did a little ceremony. And then he felt much better and went off and had lunch. But that's an example, and I think that's the kind of thing teachers can use to prepare children on topics like this. And one little boy that heard that book, Goodbye Mousy, soon after his grandfather died, and because he read the book, he decided to make a picture of himself and his grandfather, and he put that picture in the coffin when grandfather was buried.
Mm, I love that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a teachable moment.
Well, Linda, we want to thank you today for all these fabulous ideas.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I'm so happy to have companions that appreciate pets and recognize how much they mean to children.
Absolutely.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for doing everything you do for everybody, and we love you.
We love you, too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Heidi, so many good ideas. Linda's just terrific, isn't she?
She is. And for anyone out there that has children, it doesn't matter what kind of loss they've had. I would completely suggest getting the book Lucy Let's Go, Helping Children Love a Pet Through Death and Dying. It will open up communication around the topic of the loss, no matter what kind of a loss it is.
And thanks for listening to our show today. And we hope that you'll spread the word that we're here to help people find hope after loss. And as Heidi and I always want to remind you, if you've lost hope, please lean on ours till you find your own, and God bless.
You've been listening to Open to Hope Radio, hosted by Drs. Gloria and Heidi Horsley. Like today's edition, all of our past programs are available on demand at opentohope.com, along with helpful articles, videos, resources, and links to help get you through the toughest time of your life. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and sign up for our monthly newsletter. Again, that's opentohope.com. Check it out today. Then be sure to stop by next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time when we'll be posting another edition of Open to Hope Radio. Remember, others have been where you are. They made it through, and you can too, as long as you're open to hope.